Now, read with me if you would. In Exodus, we're going to be looking at chapters 21 and 22. I was actually going to teach 21, 22, 23, and then my wife said, that's not a good idea. I said, you know what, honey, you're right. Let's do 24 as well. No. But so that we can get out of here in a right time, we're going to divide this into two parts. 21, 22, and 23 are all kind of the same idea. And they're talking about how to live well with others and what is God's design, really, for society. God just gave you his design in the previous chapter, talking about the Ten Commandments, of your relationship with him. No other gods before him. No carved images. No covetousness, because you need to be content with what he gives you. And no lying, no deceit, no idolatry. All of these things really relate specifically to the Ten Commandments, and you'll have them on your coin if you forgot what they are. You'll remember that they all deal specifically with your relationship with God, okay? But now in chapters 21, 22, and 23, he deals specifically, well, how do you make a society run properly? And as we look through this, I don't have as much time as I would love to. I could spend years in just these two or three chapters, okay? Years. And I don't want to do that right now. I could. And if, in your personal study, these are interesting things to do. But I want you to just take notice of something as we read through this. Every one of these things, I want you to compare it to what our society is doing today. Because in every one of these things that we fail at in our society, we end up having a really messed up society. And if you want to know why our world is the way it is today, and why our children are the way that they are today, and why Generation Y and X are so messed up that people don't know what to do with them, why people aren't getting married, why people aren't having children, why people think it's a bad thing to have children, these are awful things that are going on today, isn't it? You know, that's something that's always bothered me. How much people hate having children today. How much people hate having children so much that they abort them, they murder them in the womb. How much people hate getting married today. I might as well just stay. If I'm going to get divorced anyway, might as well just not get married in the first place, right? How much people sue one another, and they're always going after one another, and all of the things that are going on, and the way our society is working today. When you look at what's going on today, though, you can see a clear departure from God's guidelines for a proper society. A clear departure. So we're not going to spend too much time on each one, but we're going to look at these, and we're going to start in chapter 21, and we're going to look at all of these individually and see what the Lord's doing. And the first four aspects we're going to look at tonight, and the next three we're going to look at next Wednesday night. So this first one is individual relationships, is what we're going to be looking at tonight. The relationships that we have with other individuals, other people within our society. And then the second set, which is going to be next week in chapter 23, is looking at societal relationships, or how people relate with the society that they live in general, and the general idea of how we interact with one another. So tonight, let's look at part one, the individual relationships that we have with others and how our society has been designed by God and how we've maybe departed from that. So starting in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, now these are the judgments that you shall set before them. Before who? Remember that Moses was recommended by his father-in-law to have captains over 10,000s and thousands and 50s and hundreds and all these other guys, remember? And so what he says is, you need to train those guys that these are the guidelines for society. This is how they are going to judge the people. And if there's anything that kind of falls outside of these guidelines, that's what they're going to bring to you to decide. But otherwise, these are the guidelines that they're going to use for society. So all of the little things that are going on in society, well, he took my sheep, or his ox killed my son, or however that goes, these are the guidelines on how you're going to make that work. And they still work today if we would just implement them. So he goes on in verse 2. If you buy, and he's going to start here, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go out free, and he shall pay nothing. For if he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself, and if he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's. And he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. How do you like that? Forget the piercing pagoda down at the mall. And this is, guy's taking a big old scratch awl. It's like a big pencil and slamming it through your ear into the doorpost. Yay! And that's the HR hiring process of the day, by the way, just so you know. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall bring him to the door, to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. And he shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. And if he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food or clothing and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three for her, then she shall go out free without paying money. Now, this first section here is kind of difficult because we don't live in a society that's exactly the same. But let me just put it to you this way. Basically, God's saying you're not going to treat those who work for you as slaves like everyone else does. You're going to treat them with respect, and you're going to let them go after 6 years. So really, this is the idea of employment, okay? These are servants. These are employees. And so I want you to write on that first line, caring for servants and employees. Now, in today's society, we would call this what? Employees. Now, up until recently, most societies in the world have had a different system, a different economic system than what we have today. What we have today are millions of people living on top of each other in big cities, working for very few people, right? So you have one boss with hundreds of employees, or sometimes thousands of employees. Think about how many employees Walmart, the largest employer in the world, has. You know, the largest employer in the world is Walmart. Think about that for just a second. Walmart, okay, is the largest employer in the world. And you think about that for just a minute. People don't work for themselves anymore, do they? How many of you work for yourself? You're self-employed. One out of the entire room. And I want you to think about that for just a second. Back in the time that God was setting up society, he didn't design it that way. He didn't want a lot of servants and very few masters. Most everyone was what? Self-employed. Most of them were farmers. They would all have their land, and they would all have their children and their families, and what they would do is they would raise crops and they would sell them in the market, or they would sell them to as a cooperative, or they would sell them to their neighbors, and that's how they made their money. And so everyone attended to his own fields, his own business, his own crops. But sometimes people would get low on money. Maybe there was a famine and you had no money and you weren't able to sell your crops, or maybe something happened, a flood, or the rains came early. I know in Nicaragua many times in May, the May rains, the first week of May is just solid rain. And if you don't get your beans harvested before the rains come, the plants fall down from the heavy rain and all the beans start sprouting and you can't sell them anymore. So that last week of April, what was everyone doing? Harvesting. Because if you harvest them too soon, not all of the beans are ready and you can't sell them. And if you harvest them too late, all the beans are messed up because you can't harvest in the rain and you can't sell anything. And if you wait just a day too much, you can lose a lot of your crop. And I remember one year the rains came a week early. Everybody in our town lost over half of their crop. Everybody. Now, what do you do in a situation like that? That's 50% of your income for the whole year. Because farmers don't get money every month. Farmers get a lot of money today and nothing for 12 months. That's the way it works for farmers. That's why a lot of farmers have big bank accounts. Some of the biggest bank accounts are in the Midwest where you have farmers. They'll get $2 or $3 million payday. And that's what they use to pay their workers all year. And that's what they use to buy diesel fuel all year. And that's what they use to buy seed and fertilizer and pesticides and everything else. And so you can imagine what happens if you don't have enough money. Now all of a sudden, you're done. So what does he do? God allows for people to go get employed by somebody else. In a time of difficulty, you go and you work for somebody else and you try to do what? Pay back your debts and provide for your family. So you could sell yourself, meaning essentially you were saying, I'm going to be hired on to you. Here's my debt. So what? How many years do I have to work for this amount of money? And sometimes you would hire out yourself and your spouse. And so it was treated like slavery, but you see, God says no slaves like what the world would do. Although they were considered property, meaning you could work them hard and you could do whatever else. Because I think sometimes we fail to see the fact that when you work for somebody else, you're spending their money, aren't you? So they should have a say. Now, our society today has taken away the ability for corporations to set demands on their employees. We have, and there was a time where unions were very important because the inequality in the workplace was atrocious. But nowadays, unions have become, in my opinion, something that are just unwieldy and somewhat, well, downright evil, in my opinion. And you have so much power consolidated in just a few people. And I used to be a part of a union. I used to be part of the Teamsters Union when I worked at UPS. And I always felt that I wanted my God to fight my battles, and I didn't need some guy to spout off for me because my God was going to take care of me. But you see, we have this disparity in the world today because now you have employees being mistreated by employers, and they can never get out from under the thumb of their employers. They can never work for themselves. Think about our society today. We have set it up to where you can't hardly work for yourself. At least that's what they tell you. Think about how we deal with our children. At school, they are told to go to school and indebt themselves so much that they have to be in an indentured servitude for very many years while they pay back that debt from school. They're always working for somebody else. And then they teach you how to spend on that plastic card all of your money before you ever even get it. So now you're indentured to who? Credit card company. And they teach you to spend your paycheck before you get it by going to that paychecks cashed here place down the street. And before you even get the paycheck in your hand, you've already got it spent on something else. And you're enslaved in this society, if you would. And that's not God's design. How many of you know the financial stress that can come upon a family and how it can even break up families? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you felt it. Now, if you've taken our finance class, you'll know that there are better answers out there. And if you haven't taken our finance class, how many of you have taken it? Anybody in the room? A few of you. It's transforming. Because the way that we deal with money and the way the Bible says to deal with money is just ridiculously different. But when you go through that, I think it's 12-week class, finance class, I think, or 14, whatever it was. By the end, you're thinking, well, that's not that hard. You know, I want to challenge you with something, and I don't want to spend too much time here, but I want to remind you of something else. Because he's dealing with the way that you're going to set these people free. After 6 years, it didn't matter how much money you had or how much money you owed, you were set free. Isn't that awesome? Now, by the way, this is where we get our law of bankruptcy. Every 7 years, you're allowed to go bankrupt in this country. No more than once every 7 years, though. And it is a way that even God set up, and some people they've asked me, Pastor, is it okay to go bankrupt? Well, look at it. Every 6 years, they are to be set free from all debt. He's being very clear. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh year, he shall go out free and pay nothing. Now, I do believe that there needs to be checks and balances here. I think to a certain extent we've tried that in this society. You shouldn't be able to go out, charge up every single credit card and keep all the stuff that you bought wrongly. And I think some people sometimes try to abuse this. They want to keep their yacht. They want to keep their nice car. That's what bankruptcy court's for, by the way. They sell everything, pay off your old debts, and whatever they can't pay off, they set you free. And I agree with that. That you shouldn't be able to just go out and buy all this stuff and spend all this money and be frivolous and then get out of jail free card. At the same time, I think people should be able to get a second chance in their finances. Now, I heard this once before, and I want to challenge you with this. How many kids go out there and try to find a job at McDonald's, right? That was like the best job in the world when I was in high school. I learned something different. When I was in high school, I was in agriculture. And in high school, I raised animals, and I raised animals for people in the church, and I raised animals for myself, and I sold them at the fair, and I auctioned them off, and I made lots and lots of money on these animals. One animal would pay for a lot more animals, and it was just interesting to me that as a 14-year-old, I could make thousands of dollars. It was hard work for months and months, but at the end, I was getting a paycheck, and it was coming to guess who? Me. Let me put this into perspective. Some of our youth are looking for work. You know, if you were to take one 99-cent squeegee, one 99-cent bucket, all from the 99-cent store, one 99-cent bottle of cleanser, and one 99-cent roll of paper towels, okay, $4 plus tax, call it $4.50. And you go to the houses in your neighborhood and you offer to wash all of their windows inside for $20. How many of you like to wash windows? You know what? Crazy ones raising their hands, but nobody else. How many of you think $20 is a reasonable rate to have somebody else wash your windows? Now, how many houses do you think you could hit? Now, you're going to get some no's. Yeah, you're a weirdo. You start with your friends or your neighbors, and you get referrals from them to go out and do their friends and their neighbors. And after a day of doing five houses, guess how much money you made? Just doing five houses. How much? No, you made $95.50. Because you had to buy $4.50 worth of stuff. Right? The next day, you do the same. After 2 days, you should have almost $200 minus the $9, so about, you know, $191 in your expense account, right? Now you go to Home Depot and you buy a stepladder and you offer to do the outside and the inside for $40. And doing just five homes a day, you can make up to $200 a day. Now, how many of you are making $200 a day at your full-time job? And we're only talking five houses. After a couple of weeks, you could have a 16-year-old kid with an entire crew of kids working for him. Now, is that something that's impossible, what I just told you? Is that difficult? Not at all. But our society doesn't train our youth to think that way, do we? We entrain them to indebt themselves and so when our kids are getting out of high school, they're taught to buy what they can't afford. They're taught to buy it before they have it. They're taught, if you want that car, go get it and make $500 payments every month. And they're enslaved in their finances, and God never wanted enslavement in their finances. Maybe today you've been enslaved by your finances. I really want to encourage you, the next time we have that finance class, sign up for it. Guess what? The finance class has a $50 price tag. You know why? Because that's what the materials cost us. It's $50 for the materials that you get during the finance class, the book and the workbook and everything else. That's it. We don't charge you extra. People say, $50 for a finance class? Now, give me a break. You spent $50 at McDonald's yesterday. $50 for a 14-week class or 12-week class, whatever it is not that much. And when you're done, you'll be looking at yourself saying, I can't believe I lived that way before. I can't believe I did that before. So I want to challenge you to look at your finances and how do you treat others? He's saying don't treat them harshly. Don't treat them wrongly. You're not, and there were people who would hire, they would say to this guy who owed him money, I tell you what, sell me your daughter. Because she's pretty. And I tell you what I'll do. Instead of you selling yourself, I'll give you the dowry and I'll marry her. Let me marry your daughter. Now, if the guy was just playing a game, and that's what you see in verses 7 through 11, if this guy's playing a game and just he thinks she's cute, but he's a jerk, and he's evil, and he's going to do something wrong, then he says, and she gets to get out of that relationship without ever having to pay a dime. So you have to be honest with your dealings with people, not just saying that you're going to marry into this family because you think she's cute, and then later on you're going to ditch her because you found somebody else that you like better, and all of these other things. So he's saying, you have to be proper with your finances. And the key is not to get in debt in the first place, but that's not always possible, is it? It's not always possible. I don't know that many people would be able to ever afford a home without going into debt. But if you can get out of debt and stay debt-free, and it's not that hard, if you're willing to make the difficult choices. Sometimes I say to people, you know, maybe you should get rid of cable. No, I can't live without cable. It's like their life support system is powered by cable. You know, I remember when we cut cable at our house, I had a few unhappy campers. We haven't had cable for, I think, over a year, maybe more. And I've loved every minute of it. I love not having a TV antenna, except for somebody decided to go out and buy one. But no one else. It's locked up in her room. And nobody else gets to watch TV. And I've even told her, don't let the kids come in there and watch TV. It's not my wife. I'm not going to mention any names. But you know what? I love not having TV. I love not having those evil commercials. I love not knowing about all the covetous things that are coming out. You know, all the newest and greatest things that everybody wants to buy. I don't even hear about them anymore. Isn't that cool? All the toys that people have to have and all these. I don't get the advertisements. I don't waste my time channel surfing looking for something to watch. It's awesome. It's really helped focus our family. It's really helped get everybody on the right page. It's really helped reduce our expenses. It's actually increased our expenses because instead of doing things that are wasting time, we're doing things that are productive. So there is a way that you can be debt-free. There is a way that you can work for yourself if you're willing to think and if you're willing to follow God's commandments. And that's what he wants. Even in our society today, there's a way that you can live and be your own boss. There was a long time where I was buying and selling appliances on Craigslist, and I would deliver them to a house and install them, and that's how I was making money to feed my family. There are ways you can even be your own boss, doing your own thing, and still provide for your family quite well. There's a blog called recraigslist.com, and Ryan Finley is the guy on it. You know, he was in debt, and they were going to take away his house, and he was a construction worker. He was a construction contractor, and he was losing his house, and he was losing his car, and he was losing his mind over the bills. And one day he started buying and selling appliances. And if you read his blog, he's a Christian who, after 4 years, paid off all of his debt, over $100,000 of debt. He owns his own businesses, three, and he's buying a piece of property in Hawaii now, and he's going to start another business over there because he's completely debt-free, including his house. I want you to think about that for a minute. It is possible. But you have to apply biblical principles. The world's going to tell you, no, just work for us. Enslave yourself to us, and then you're stuck with them. And the Lord said, no, free yourself. Every 6 years, you should be able to be free from that. But at the same time, be careful. It's not about covetousness and getting the best, and it's about having a great relationship with the Lord and with your family and doing what's right in your finances. Now, he talks about that, and really, the idea here, and I want to challenge you with this, is that do you love those around you? Do you love your family enough to not sell them to this guy who's going to be evil? Do you love your employees or you treat them right? Do you love the Lord enough to where you're going to honor him in your finances? This is really about, and this is the key issue, is love. Because you've heard the old adage, all is fair in love and war or business, right? It's not personal, it's business. They say, well, I say it's personal. And I want to challenge you to love your family enough to provide for them rightly. Teach them not to be covetous. Teach them to provide for themselves and to work for the Lord and to work for what's right. It's about loving your neighbor as yourself, loving your employees. If you have employees, God has blessed you so much that you're able to provide for others through your business, then you treat them right and you pay them fairly and you don't treat them like slaves. But you help them learn how to be proper before the Lord. Well, he goes on in verses 12 through 36 and he talks about something else here. He says, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. And I'm just going to pause for a second. I want you to write on that next line, compensating for personal injuries. Larry H. Parker got me. You know the story. Remember those? And people get personal injuries and they think, ooh, I get to get money. I remember when I was 18, I was working at UPS, and I hurt my right ankle to where every single ligament and tendon was torn out of my ankle, and the muscles had balled up on the calf, and there was nothing connecting my ankle to the rest of the bone, so there was no way to move my ankle. It was flopping around everywhere. They had to surgically go in and cut it open and reconnect everything on my ankle. And I was given permanent disability. I was told I was never going to be able to work there again, so I was laid off. I went to Nicaragua my first time with a cast on my ankle after just having had surgery. And just some amazing stuff. And I remember being told by some of the other guys in the union, you know, you can sue. They'll give you at least $100,000 for that. Because it cost them more just to pay the attorney to file to oppose the lawsuit. So just ask for $50,000 to $100,000, you'll be fine. I said, no. They paid me my wages until I was done. They paid for the surgeries. They paid for the physical therapy. What did I need? And he said, God took care of me. He let me go to Nicaragua. They paid me while I was going to Nicaragua because I couldn't work. So I got to go to Nicaragua with a cast on my foot. I mean, God just provided everything for me. And he also made it impossible for me to go back to that job because he wanted me to go to Nicaragua and be a missionary and not work this great job that I loved. God used that as an opportunity and a catalyst to push me in the right direction. There was no reason for a lawsuit. There was no reason for anything like that. But how do you deal with personal injury and somebody hurting someone else? And the issue with this section is really consideration. And as we read it, I just want you to think about something real quick. Here in this section, you're going to notice a common theme. If you own something dangerous and you don't take care of it, you're at fault. I think insurance has really removed our consideration for other people nowadays. You hit somebody and you don't worry, oh, they got to have insurance anyway, right? Or, who cares if they stole it? The insurance will cover it, right? So insurance is a great excuse for a lack of consideration in our society today. How many employers have been investigated by the government because they figure it's cheaper to pay the insurance than it is to deal with making things safe for my employees, right? Because they have insurance, they don't have to take care of their employees. Oh, if the mine collapses on the miners, we got insurance. Why put in the respiratory systems or the bracing systems inside the mine? That's going to be $1 million. I'm only going to have to pay a $300,000 insurance premium if it collapses. I'll just go with the insurance premium. And so now you have a group of people and employers or other people, even if you think about it, people in homes that don't build things properly and they don't really care, people who drive their cars with no brakes and no working headlights or taillights at night and they don't think about the consequences, they're not considerate of other people. People who get drunk and drive their vehicles while intoxicated or under the influence of drugs and alcohol, who don't care, who are inconsiderate of the consequences, because we've removed the consequences, haven't we? See, back then, and you're going to notice this, that if your animal hurt somebody else and killed them, you would be put to death. There were such harsh consequences that you had to be considerate of other people. Now let's put this into another perspective. If you were driving a car and you were intoxicated and you murdered somebody by running them over in your car, you couldn't say, oops, it wasn't my fault, I was drunk. Well, yes, it was your fault, you were drunk. And you decided to get behind the wheel of a car and you decided to drive that vehicle and you decided that you were okay with running someone else over because you were inconsiderate and you would have been put to death. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. How would that change the way you lived your life? How would that change the way that you treat your kids and other people's children? How would that change the way that you lived and did anything in life? Be considerate. Be considerate with your vehicle. Be considerate with your life. Be considerate with your possessions. Be considerate with your time and with the way that you do things. Be considerate when you're going to do something dumb. And don't do that. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. So if you lie in wait is the idea here. you hide out and you spring upon somebody and you hit him with a baseball bat and you in the head and he dies, and then you're going to die. You have to be considerate. Be considerate? How is that? Well, there were times that you were allowed to beat somebody. There were times that you were allowed to get into a fight. What if you're protecting your family? Should you try to kill somebody? And the answer is, you shouldn't try to kill somebody. You protect yourself, you get away, and then you tell everybody else, and then society is going to bring him before the council, and what are they going to say? He attacked you? Put him to death. He attacked your family? But you see, the only person in God's society who was allowed to take life was the Lord and the authorities which he placed over the society. Those were the only ones who were allowed to take a life. He did set